Hey everybody, I'm Kirk with Uncomfortable. I'm joined by Vince for another good show. We are so excited to have you again with us. It has been an exciting week or so, you know. Some of you might actually hear my wife in the background. She's all excited because as we're recording this, it's the inauguration week. And she is so excited about all the different things that are going on during the different events. And she gets very excited, and it's very fun to listen to her as she exclaims. Speaking of the inauguration, there's something that's very interesting that you and I've talked about many times, and that's change. And somebody might say, Pastor Kirk, how is change interesting? I hate change. Well, change is interesting because it's something that we all go through, whether we like it or not. And there is no real option because no matter what happens, things will always change.
Yeah, change is you know, it's funny. People say certain things about that, like change sometimes is considered a four-letter word in some cases. Now, don't send us messages saying, what do you mean it's not really a four-letter word? No, we know that. But what I mean by that
is
that...
Well, you can send us messages, but just, you know...
Yeah, not condemning us, right?
It's figurative, right?
Right, it is. So the thing I mean by that is not everybody always wants to hear about that. Not everybody wants to hear, oh, it's, you know, you got to embrace change, accept change. But it is something, like you said, it's kind of inevitable. We all have to face it. We all have to deal with it. I mean, from normal things like getting married, having children, your children growing up, leaving the house, getting married themselves, and
oh my goodness,
grandparents and all that stuff.
Are you picking on me right now? You
know. I'm not picking on you. I just know that you are finally facing a situation that I have to deal with within the last couple of years, and it's fresh on your radar right now.
I was not even thinking about this when we picked the topic of change, but what you guys don't understand is my oldest child has just moved out of the house. She accepted a job across the country, and it's been a major change for me and my wife. And, you know, there's moments in life where you just have to say, Holy Spirit, Lord God, I give my children into your hands. And just like the word says, I'm taking them as an arrow and I'm shooting them out into the world so that they can be a light for you and your gospel. And then you begin to pray for your kids even more diligently than you ever did before because you realize they are out from underneath your wings. They're out from underneath your protection, and they're out in the world. And you're like, Lord, I know they're a light. I know they love you, but please watch over them. Please protect them. Be that extra shield and protection. But that's another aspect of change. You know, whether it's government transition in your home, or maybe some of you might be in the transition that Vince and I have been in before, many years ago, of course, but marriage, which is a new transition. You know, if you're newly married, that's a very new transition where you're getting to know another individual. You think you know them. You might have dated for 1 year, 4 years, 5 years, whatever. But once you get married, there's something different. There's a new intimacy there to where things are not the same. And so there's change once again. And so as we go through these transitions in life, we have to navigate those transitions in a way that's honoring to God. Right, Vince? Because there's several ways we could do it. I mean, we could be prideful. Say, it's going to be my way or the highway. We could be, you know, controlling, trying to control every aspect of the change. Or we could be humble and just say, Lord, guide me, direct me, and be open to that direction and guidance as he leads. And then we'll be set up for the success in our future.
Yeah. I would concur with that. You know, actually, I was watching, I had somebody send me something the other day, and they send it because, you know, people send stuff to like, oh, it's funny, or it's cute, or it's this, or it's that. And it was like a little short video of some young guy proposing to his girlfriend or something. And so I went ahead and dug a little deeper and went and found their whole video and looked at it. And listening to this kid talk about, and excuse me for saying kid, but I mean, he's probably young enough to be my kid. So he's in his early 20s and all that stuff. And he's talking
Wait a
about
minute. Early 20s? Does that mean you're old?
that is he's, early 20s. Look, I'm 46. I'm old enough to be his dad. So, but it was interesting to listen to them and hear him talk about how he's nervous and even like nervous to go ask the dad for her hand and yet just following them through this journey. And so I was intrigued by this couple. So I looked some of their other stuff and they actually show them even her surprising him with her being pregnant like sometime later. And so it just had me thinking about the changes that come with life and how each one of them bring their own set of challenges with it, as well as things to celebrate, as well as things that make things better, make life better. Getting married and having that person with you is there's a an improvement to your life there, but there's also some challenges. You're not used to living together, and you're commingling your lives and your attitudes and likes and dislikes and all. And now you can't run away from them at all. You don't have your own space to go
Uh-oh.
home to at
Careful
night.
now. Your
Well, I don't mean
wife
it in a bad way. I mean, like can spend
might
all day
listen to
with
this later. You
somebody.
need to be very careful, Vince.
Well, no, I mean, we went through that early on. So I'm 21 years into this. So that doesn't faze me. I enjoy, like, I want to be with my wife all the time. I could be in the same space as her, and it doesn't faze me at this point. But you think about it when you're first dating and you're first together, at the end of the night, you both go to your home, your own separate spaces. And so that is kind of like your decompression and you're like, okay, I'm still have my space. But then when you are married and you're together, you're constantly in each other's space and you're learning things about each other, how each other sleeps, your nighttime routine, your morning routine, all these other little nuances that you may not fully be aware of early on. And then, God blesses you with children and you're like, well, children are only a challenge. It's hard. It's, but there's so many really cool things that come into your life because God allows you to have children and it's
You
such a
know,
blessing.
one of the interesting things that I found about children, and I've heard so many people say, I just don't have time. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. But the interesting thing about kids is when you have them, somehow God always makes a way. Where you didn't think you had the
Oh,
time
that's
or the
pretty
money or
awesome.
the resources, the Lord always provides.
Yep.
And I know some people have a hard time with that provision because sometimes they squander their wealth, but it doesn't mean God's not made the provision. You know, if you decide to eat your blessing instead of cultivate it and grow it, it's like the farmer. He has a handful of seeds and he has a choice. Either I plant the seeds and I have food for an entire year for a season, or I eat the seed and I have satisfaction for a day. So we have that same choice. When God gives us a blessing, we can either eat the seed, the blessing, and we are momentarily satisfied, or we can plant that seed, cultivate the seed, nourish it, get it to grow and produce a harvest, and then we get to enjoy the bounty of that harvest. And we can see that in our marriage, we can see that in our children. And we can see that in the rest of our life. Friendships, work, whatever, ministry, it doesn't matter. Every aspect of our life can follow that same principle. But we have to be diligent in the things that God has given us. It's no wonder that he used this, the analogy of the talents, being diligent with what we're given. Because if we're not diligent with the talents or the blessings or the, overflow that he's given us, why would he give us more? Why would he give us an abundant overflow if we can't be dedicated with the thing that he's already given us? It's not a good investment. And God is a good investor. He's a good businessman. He's not into making bad business decisions.
That is a valid point. That's I know, like you said, when you have children, things do change. They're and I don't want to like harp too deep on the individual aspects of them at this moment, just because of the fact that I want to stick to the thing, like you had said, that there are different seasons in our life, and there's things that come and go, and there are blessings and challenges and trials that come along with those various things that come. Moving to a new state, going to college, getting your first car, your first home, or moving to another country
Oh
for some
man,
people. And
that was my
so
wife.
there's always challenges, there's always things, and when you follow the Lord, there's always going to be times and seasons where change is going to come. It's not always, it's easy to say, look, you need to be flexible and allow yourself to have that flexibility when change comes. It's an easy statement to say. It's a harder thing to walk out, because even for those people who are like, oh, I enjoy change, it's not bad. There's something in your life that you don't like changing. Like me personally, there's a lot of things I don't mind changing. It doesn't matter to me. But I have this weird thing about, don't laugh at me too much, Kirk, about my living room, right? So my wife likes to change like our living quarters pretty often. Like, it doesn't bother her to do so, and I'm more like, okay, I don't like that. Leave it where it is. Leave the couch where it is, leave the TV where it is. Let's not rearrange it. Let's leave this in its place and that in its place forever, and it's fine. She's like, no, I want to change it. I want to do this. I want to move it here and do that and flip this. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. So now what we've kind of come to the conclusion of is two things usually happen. Number one, usually she'll have my kids come over, or if they're there, she'll rearrange the house then. And a lot of times she'll ask me to go run to Walmart and go get something and not be there to help
And
her
you come
move
home,
things.
and then you're like, oh no, what have you
I
done?
come home and everything's moved, and I'm like, okay, I don't like it right now. But we've gotten to the point where I told her, listen, you know, I don't like it right up front because I don't like things changing. I said, but give me 2 or 3 days, maybe 4 days, and by that time I'll be used to it and I'll be okay with it. I just need a few days to get used to it. And so now she doesn't typically ask me right away, what do you think? Do you like it? And because I'm usually like, now she'll wait a couple of days and she says, so what do you think? Do you like the setup? Is it, is it comfortable for you? And so, and then I'll be able to give her a good answer. So, I mean, we all have our things that we compromise on. We all have our things that we don't like, or we like change on. Some people can change, wouldn't have a problem changing cars every other month if they could. And
Well, for
some
me,
people want the same car for the next 15, 20 years.
my wife always gets nervous whenever I talk about different states because I like to move. I enjoy the challenge of a new area. To me, it's fun to get to know a new area. Now,
Oh.
even though I enjoy that kind of massive change, there is one thing I don't like, and that's loading and unloading the moving truck. I don't mind unpacking. Excuse me. I don't necessarily care for packing and unpacking. I don't mind the new home. I don't mind the new location. I don't mind all of that. It's the actual loading and unloading of the vehicle. And that journey, which sometimes is not very bad, but sometimes you just want to get there because you're on a timeline and you can't wait because you have a new job that you're going to or whatever. And that is the stressful part of relocation. However, the actual relocation for me is fun. But my wife, she's like you. My wife's like, I don't like change. Once I get rooted in, I want to. This is my roots. I'm good. You and I were just talking about Florida the other day, and my wife knows that if I could get to Florida, I might just pick up and put roots down there as fast as anything. But I also have to remember that sometimes the Holy Spirit has assignments, and I've got to say, Lord, where do you have me for this season? Because if I turn around and move somewhere on my own, man, I'll get there and he'll probably whisper it in my ears, what'd you do, son? Why are you trying to change on your own when I haven't called you into this other season? I've called you where you were. So we've got to make sure that even when we love change, even when we like transitions, that we don't get ourselves so focused on the romanticism of the idea of a new adventure, a new challenge, because sometimes we can get ahead of where God's trying to take us. And sometimes it doesn't matter. Other times our assignment is very regional, very specific to the area that we are at. And we've got to make sure that we are rooted where He has us. And notice I didn't say plugged in. Did you notice that, Vince?
I did.
Because the thing is about people always say, yeah, get plugged in. Well, plug in, I can unplug real quick too. You know, The Lord says that we're supposed to be like the plants rooted deep, getting the nutrition from the soil so that we can produce a harvest. There's a reason He used the analogy of cultivating, you know, produce. Because if the roots don't go deep, they can't get the nutrients and the water they need. It's the same whenever you're planted in an area for ministry or church, whatever, or, you know, you might even be a businessman or woman and God's asked you to go to a certain church. If you're not rooted in where you are, any shaking that happens is going to make you nervous and you're going to flee. Now, I'm not saying that there's not reasons why you may not need to move churches. But to me, when you church hop, that's a symptom of a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord may not ask people to move during seasons, but I do believe very wholeheartedly that it doesn't matter if you're called to be an elder in the church, a layman, whatever, that the Lord has called us to different bodies so that we can be a part of it, so that we can help strengthen it and cause it to fulfill its vision that He has given to that pastor and to that eldership of that church. And if we don't play our part and we keep jumping from, you know, like hopscotch from square to square, and the squares could be like different churches, then we're not empowering the vision anywhere. We're momentarily sowing seed in different places over and over again. So we've got to be very intentional with where we spend our time. And if the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to transplant you, that's different. Because the transplant is a very specific process, and the Lord will make a way to where it doesn't damage you and doesn't damage those around you. Now, not everybody in the body of Christ does those transitions right, but if we pay attention, we know the Holy Spirit's doing things. You know, either the leader of the church will recognize it, or someone else themselves may recognize it. There is a minister, I believe the name of his ministry is Lowly, Light of Light International. He used to go with Reinhard Bonnke all over Africa. Well, there was a certain point in his ministry where Reinhard Bonnke turned around and looked at him, and he was just like the armor bearer. He would just carry the Bibles and put them out and just pray, you know, just basically the assistant. And he was happy with what the Lord had him doing. And one day, Reinhard Bonnke turned around and looked at him and says, "All right, so, you know, the Lord's not called us to have two evangelists on one stage. It's time for you to get moving." And he just looked over at his mentor and goes, "But I'm just your assistant." He goes, "Yes, but God's called you to the nations." And so the Lord had already told Reinhard Bonnke, it's time for his mentee to go out and begin to do his work. So he, in turn, basically released the word over his mentee. And then his mentee began to develop his new ministry moving forward. And now he's doing ministry all over Latin America. And where Reinhard Bonnke was in Africa, this gentleman's all over Latin America. And I think he's starting to do some things in Africa now, but it's been a journey. And you see that he's got that same type of anointing on where he does that huge evangelistic type of outreach. Yeah. And it's just amazing how the Lord will speak if we're listening. But that's the key. We've got to listen. We can't be selfish. We can't be prideful. We can't be arrogant. We can't be disdainful. But we have to be, or even falsely humble. We've got to be diligent in what we're doing, right?
Yeah, so I want to head back a little bit to something that you said about being at different churches and bouncing around and things of that nature. You know that the stuff that I've done in my history with helping out at different places and all that. So I really do think I have an understanding of that between sticking and going.
Absolutely.
And I think the difference between some of them is that for some, God calls you to go and be planted somewhere for a season and to serve and to help flourish, help them flourish and grow, and you also to flourish and grow. And then God will say, okay, I have another assignment for you, and you move on to the next place. Maybe or maybe not, it's in the same area. Could be, could not be. Where then there are those that when they're church hopping, their thing is they don't necessarily like what's being said because it hurts their feelings. And not because there's something scripturally wrong what's being talked about, because a lot of times when people are church hopping, it's because there's not a doctrinal issue, it's a personal issue. They're calling you out on your sin and you don't want to hear about it. And so you're going to go find somewhere that's going to just talk sweet to you and tickle your ears. And I kind of think that's, in my opinion, that's the difference where between something that's legitimate and valid versus something that is more like you're just doing it to bounce around, hoping that somebody will just tickle your ears. And once they stop tickling your ears and start addressing an issue that's operating in your life, you're like, okay, it's time for me to move on to the next place.
Oh yeah, because it's uncomfortable. Because now I'm accountable for my actions, or someone tells me something I don't want to hear, or they don't agree with the way I feel about something. Then suddenly I need to go pick up my roots and go somewhere else. And that's where it's so convenient to be plugged in versus rooted in, because then you can easily move. And the thing is,
If you're just plugged in, yeah.
it's not that God sometimes doesn't want us to move to different locations. But when he does, it's strategic. It's not convenient. Think about that. Strategic, not convenient. Sometimes you may not even want to be there. I remember in Tennessee, when we moved to Tennessee for a season, in the church that I was ordained in, I didn't want to go to that church. Just to be honest with you. When I first moved to Chattanooga, I grew up in more of a Pentecostal, charismatic type of atmosphere. You and I both went to Christ for the Nation, so go figure, right? And of course, just as a disclaimer, everybody, Christ for the Nation is a very interdenominational school. I know people who are Orthodox Greek that went to the school there. And it was kind
There's some
of,
Baptists that went there.
and Baptist and Church of God. I mean, just about any flavor has been there. So it's a very diverse group of students. But the point I've got here is when I went to Tennessee, I did not want to go to a Baptist church. I was very anti wanting to go to a Baptist church because I was like, they're too strict, they're too stringent, they're too holier than thou, blah, blah, blah. And then for some reason, we were going to go visit like my sister's church, and somehow we got our wires crossed, and the time was not what we thought it was. And my wife just goes, "Hey, let's just go over here to Abba's house. Let's go just go check it out." So we went and checked it out, and we didn't go late. We didn't leave. It was home. We knew. And we became very rooted. And that's where the Lord began to really pour into me. And Pastor Ron Phillips, who was the senior pastor at the time, he is a very rooted minister in the Word of God. Very good at digging deep into the scripture. And so for me, it was very good to have that foundational teaching that went deep into biblical. I mean, basically, it's not just giving you the superficial overview like a lot of charismatic churches do. Not all of them do that. But a lot of, like you said, tickle ears. And it's not bad to have a light service. That's okay. But the thing is having a deep, meaningful, the only way I know how to describe it is most people know who Charles Stanley is. Charles Stanley does really good about getting deep into the word and being very solid in his teaching. And that's how Ron Phillips Sr. is as well. Now, Pastor Ronnie Phillips Jr. is doing pretty good at following in his father's footsteps. And I deeply respect him as well. And from what I can hear, he's doing really excellent, and really his messages are really hitting powerful. They have some great growth right now. But I know for me, it was really good to have that strong foundation to see how people dig deep into the Word, to get rooted in the Scriptures. Because that's one of the things that a lot of people in the Word of Faith fail in, is they have a lot of cliche knowledge, but they don't have root knowledge. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like the depth of what they understand of the Word is not always there. And that's not always the case. There's a lot of people who do study deeply in the Word, but I found a lot of people in the more Word of Faith charismatic church that didn't spend as much time studying the Word, understanding. And a lot of the people that I spoke to, they would just pick, well, actually I've heard this in a lot of denominations as well, where they would pick their favorite scripture and cherry pick scriptures to say what they wanted to say in their messages. And that can be very dangerous, because the Word of God is written as letters, most of it, or books, with very specific context to those books. And it's not that God can't speak to you in a very profound way, but we've got to be careful with cherry picking it. Because, I mean, think about it. If you're playing biblical Russian roulette one day and say, "Lord, give me a word," and it says, "And he hung himself."
Yeah.
I mean, that's what one of the verses says, "And he hung himself," you know, because that's Judas Iscariot, you know, when he went and hung himself. I mean, is that really what you want to play Russian roulette with? I mean, you need to understand the context of what that verse is all about, right? So
that one's dangerous.
We got to be careful.
Got to play the roulette game with the scripture. Yeah, they can end up, and then they jumped off the cliff. No.
That's right. And then the entire herd jumped ran off the cliff and drowned in the water. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not what the Holy Spirit wants. He's not wanting you to do that. He does not want that. He's one who chases life more abundantly. He's not looking to harm you. He wants you to be healed, loved on, and set free. So we need to have the context of the gospel, and having a good firm foundation in what the Word of God says is critical for our growth and, you know, us transitioning successfully into that next season.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of transitions, that's one of the things that I'm very thankful for, the current transition that's going on in Washington right now. You know, I don't keep up with politics as much. My wife, she basically informs me what's going on. And I'm very, very thankful for what I believe is a God-fearing group of men that have gotten into the administration. Mm-hmm. And I believe will be more centered around trying to make better decisions for our nation. I don't know exactly where they stand 100% according to the gospel, but I do believe that they're a whole lot better off than our previous administration.
Yeah, I would concur with that. I know there's quite a few people that are in there now that are very much people of faith. They are very much out to help restore the nation to once again honor and respect the Lord, and restore that up to, you know, unto Him. Whereas the previous ones were not so much. They were very much okay with pulling God out of everything. And I mean, what does the Word say about that? The Lord blesses the nation whose God is the Lord. So when you are a nation that stands in stark contrast to the one true God, you are on shaky ground and susceptible for every calamity. So it's really cool to see. I am hoping that there are a lot more of us being believers in there now, and that God would give them the wisdom and the grace to govern wisely and properly according to the Word, and offer sound wisdom and sound advice to to President Trump and whoever else is responsible for decision making, and we'll see what happens. I know whenever a government is willing to honor and respect the Lord and even acknowledge that he is the God of the land, it goes well with them. There's protection and there's prosperity that comes with that. And so it is, it's going to be interesting to see what goes down, especially in the first year, and see how that versus, 2 years in, 3 years in, up to the fourth year, because just because somebody starts out and kind of leading back into what we said before, just because somebody starts out great and starts out on the right way doesn't mean they finish there. And our responsibility as believers is to continue to pray for our leaders and not just be like, woo, we got somebody in, we can go sit home and do nothing. We're still responsible to continue to pray throughout the entirety. Whether we liked him or not, whether we agreed with them or not, we should have been praying. If for those that have not, we should be praying for leaders, even if we don't like them, especially if we don't like them and they're not for us and they're not for the Christian faith, and believing in God, and they're wanting to get rid of him, all the more to pray for them, but much less to pray for godly leaders, because all kind of attacks come at them to try to remove them from power, because the enemy doesn't want them in power.
That's
Because he
exactly
doesn't
right.
want righteousness to reign over the land. He wants, wickedness to reign over the land. And we want righteousness. So we need to pray and continue to pray for their protection and safety, regardless of who it is, whether we like the person or not, from all the way down to governors, whether we like them or not, whether mayors. And, ask the Lord to bring people in that are godly people to govern, and to remove those people who are wicked and perverse and want to destroy the land that we live in. So we just pray them out and vote them out and
Well,
move on from there.
interesting thing there is the word tells us to pray for our leaders. He doesn't say that we pray for the ones we voted for. Because, when that command was given, one of the most wicked rulers of all of Rome was in power when the
They didn't have
church
a
was told.
choice to vote back then.
Well, that's it, but that was the thing. There was no voting, but they were just commanded, pray for your leaders that we may have peace. And that's the thing. If we lift up our voices in prayer, we can shake the nations for peace. That's one of the things we're told, we're commanded to do, is pray for the peace of Israel. So we're not only supposed to pray for our leaders, but we're also supposed to pray for Israel's peace. So we can tell that God is a God of peace, God of love. He wants to rain peace down upon us. He wants to heal our hearts, to heal our land. And he wants to bring restoration. Well, guys, as we wrap this up, we want to invite you to get in touch with us. You can email us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. We would love to hear from you. We would love your show ideas, little topics you'd like us to discuss. We would also love to hear prayer requests so that we can be lifting you up in prayer and pray for your ministry, your family, whatever it is going on. We would love to pray for you. Join in faith with you. And we do appreciate you. If you'd like to support us, you can also do that at mooseministries.org/give. Guys, y'all have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you next time.
See you next time, guys.